Well, the time has come for us to hear the word of the Lord, and I would ask if each and every one of you kept Jerry in your prayers. I know that he cares deeply about each and every one of your souls and the salvation that we have and the welfare of our souls, and I would pray that you would let your thoughts and your hearts and your minds be drawn into what he has to give to us this night, and to be able to apply that in your lives. So at this time, I'm going to give you our brother and speaker of the hour, Jerry.
Thank you, Gary. I'm pleased to be able to be here. It's good to see each of your faces. This is a peculiar sermon to prepare for. It was very much unlike most sermons that I prepare for. It seems like I go to deliver a sermon and I may pray about it a little while, and it's like I really have trouble sorting through all of the scriptures. It comes like a landslide. But this time was not like that. I had one scripture. And the truth is, in the first five verses I read to you, you've got the message. I'm going to spend a little time talking about it and read some other scriptures and then probably even come back to it. But really, the crux of this sermon is going to be in my first reading. And that reading is out of the Psalms. It's the 100th Psalm. Says, starting with the first verse, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." And I truly have no big story for you tonight. This is the message. Starting out with that first verse, when it talks about making a joyful noise unto the Lord, it says, all ye lands. Why would that be? Why would it be that all the lands make a joyful noise unto the Lord? You know, and I think that you can look at the third verse, and it answers the question. Because the Lord made us. Every one of us. Everywhere. He made us. He is the creator. We are the creature. And everything that we have was given of him. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And I think that that's talking about singing. I think it's talking about making a joyful noise. But I think even more so, it has to do with our attitude. It has to do with having gratitude. It has to do with realizing who God is and who we are, what the relationship is. It has to do with understanding that nothing we do truly brings profit. It's he that always gives the increase. To talk about this more, I'd like to turn over to Messiah, the first chapter. And if you could open there with me. I'm going to start reading with the 52nd verse. And to start with, I'm going to read through the 62nd. It's on page 212 in my Book of Mormon. So the first chapter of the Book of Messiah, starting with the 52nd verse. "I say unto you, my brethren, that if ye should render all the thanks and praise which your whole souls hath power to possess to that God who hath created you and hath kept and preserved you and hath caused that ye should rejoice and hath granted that ye should live in peace one with another. I say unto you that if ye should serve him who hath created you from the beginning and art preserving you from day to day by lending you breath, that ye may live and move and do according to your own will and even supporting you from one moment to another. I say, if ye should serve him with all your whole soul, yet ye would be unprofitable servants. And I want to go back and think a little bit about that moment to moment. You know, I had a patient one time that was in and out of our surgical unit for months. And she was on the surgical unit because I had moved to that unit from the cardiac ward. And so the physician moved her there because he wanted some of that other background knowledge that I had through the night. And I worked nights at the time. But she had a disease called chronic obstructive lung disease, COPD, pulmonary disease. And there's, I don't know how many of you nurses have ended up working with a patient like that. They have, I guess you'd call it a chronic look of fear. They have an air hunger in end stage, and it's always there. It's always there, and they struggle for each breath. And it's a person who realizes each breath. And I think that unlike us, you know, because we take each breath for granted. We don't think of it like the Lord lends us breath. Each breath, moment to moment, that's the sustaining power of God. That's the gratitude we should have in our soul, in our heart. That's why we make a joyful noise. That's why we sing. I say, if you should serve him with all your whole soul, yet you would be unprofitable servants. And behold, all that he requires of you is to keep his commandments, and he hath promised you that if you would keep his commandments, you should prosper in his land. You should prosper in the land. And he never doth vary from that which he hath said. Therefore, if ye do keep his commandments, he doth bless you and prosper you. And now, in the first place, he hath created you and granted unto you your lives, for which ye are indebted unto him. And secondly, he doth require that ye should do as he hath commanded you, for which, if ye do, he doth immediately bless you, and therefore he hath paid you. And ye are still indebted unto him, and are and will be forever and ever. Therefore, of what have ye to boast? And now I ask, can ye say aught of yourselves? I answer you, nay. Ye cannot say that thou art even as much as the dust of the earth. Yet thou wast created of the dust of the earth. But behold, it belongeth to him who created you. And I, even I, whom ye call your king, am no better than ye yourselves are, for I am also of the dust. There's another scripture reading where it says that we are less than the dust. Because what we're the dust, you know, the wind blows and it lists us to the wind. It goes where he wants it to go. We're not like that. It's what we strive to be. My next reading is it's in Messiah also. I'm going to just turn over to the next page. Start reading at verse 70. Now, my brethren, I would that ye should do as ye hath hitherto done. As ye have kept my commandments and also the commandments of my Father, and have prospered and have been kept from falling into the hands of your enemies. Even so, if ye shall keep the commandments of my Son, or the commandments of God, which shall be delivered unto you by him, ye shall prosper in the land, and your enemies shall have no power over you. But, O my people, beware lest there should arise contentions among you, and ye list to obey the evil spirit, which is spoken of by my father Messiah. For behold, there is a woe pronounced upon him who listeth to obey that spirit. For if he listeth to obey him, and remaineth and dieth in his sins, the same drinketh damnation to his own souls. For he receiveth for his wages an everlasting punishment, having transgressed the law of God, contrary to his own knowledge. I say unto you, that there is not one among you, except it be your little children, that hath not been taught concerning these things. But what knoweth that ye are eternally indebted to your heavenly Father? And I think about things like contentions and how they can rise. It's kind of a natural thing among any group of people. Where I work, I worked for 20 years, and you just see it continually. If it's not in one area, it's in another area, and you learn to live with it. But you know, it's not supposed to be that way among us. It's not supposed to. And I think sometimes it comes out of a competition, a desire to be recognized, a desire to be best. It's something that's kind of within us. We become competitive, and we compete. And we think that we don't, but when somebody else gets credit for what we might have done, you feel it. It reveals itself in you. You realize that you wanted credit, you know. But the truth is, you know, well, I'm going to keep reading there, but turn over real quick to 1 Corinthians, the third chapter. Gary read some around this earlier today. I'm going to start with the third verse. It says, "For ye are yet carnal." I hear a lot of pages turning, I'll let you get there. 1 Corinthians, third chapter. I'm going to start reading with the third verse. "For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? Who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watered, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planted and he that watered are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. We are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." And we've had several sermons recently where we've talked about the individual and putting on the armor of God. But I would also talk to you about the way we build on that foundation and the way we behave. When we work together within the body of Christ, that it's often said that a soldier, fights for honor and many things until he's in the dead heat of battle, and then it changes. It reaches the point where he fights for his brother on his left and his brother on his right. And he fights for sustenance from moment to moment that they may survive. And he knows that when his brother falls on his left or on his right, that it's even a greater danger for he himself. And that's the heart we should have one for another as we together, with the help of God, engage in this warfare, this spiritual warfare, that the results are eternal for us. It's about the eternal life of our soul. So I'm again going to read verse 10, and I'll finish my reading here. According to the grace of God, which is given unto us as a wise master builder, and I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth upon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in man, for all things are yours. Let me go back to where I was reading before. Back in Messiah, the first chapter. I think I'm going to start reading with verse 76. And I say unto you that there is not one among you, except it be your little children, that hath not been taught concerning these things, but what knoweth that ye are eternally indebted to your heavenly Father, to render to him all that ye have and are, and also have been taught concerning the records which contain the prophecies which have been spoken by the holy prophets, even down to the time of your father Lehi left Jerusalem, and also all that hath been spoken of by your fathers until now. And when I look back and when I was reading in the third verse of this 100 Psalm, it says, Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. And I like to add the thought from here in Messiah where it says, that we're eternally indebted to our Heavenly Father, and then verse 77, to render to Him all that you have and are. And I believe that when we think of the increase, when we think of any prophet, when we think even of who we are, that we have to, again, make a joyful noise to the Lord, because the credit goes to Him for who you are. Even that increase is His. He is the Creator. That was verse 77, 78. And behold, also we spake that which is commanded them of the Lord. Therefore they are just and true. And now I say unto you, my brethren, that after ye have known and have been taught all these things, if ye should transgress and go contrary to that which hath been spoken, that ye do withdraw yourselves from the Spirit of the Lord, that it may have no place in you to guide you in wisdom's path, that ye may be blessed, prospered, and preserved. And this, you know, it talks about this, you know, when we were reading that 100th Psalm, it's that we are the sheep of His pasture, and that everything He gave us all, but that doesn't, we don't get to prosper. We don't get to be blessed when we turn away from Him. And in fact, we turn out of wisdom's path. We can't expect to know. We can't expect to make good decisions when we rebel against him. We are not smarter. The wisdom of man is foolishness. When we turn away from him, we turn out of wisdom's path. Verse 80, I say unto you that the man that doeth this thing is the same cometh out in open rebellion against God. Therefore he listeth to obey the evil spirit and becometh an enemy to all righteousness. Therefore the Lord hath no place in him, for he dwelleth not in unholy temples. Therefore, if that man repenteth not, and remaineth and dieth an enemy to God, the demands of divine justice doth awaken his immortal soul to a lively sense of his own guilt, which doth cause him to shrink from the presence of the Lord, and doth fill his breast with guilt and pain and anguish, which is like an unquenchable fire, whose flames ascendeth up forever and ever. And I want to talk to you a little bit about, you know, I've heard men tell of times that they've gone through where they did turn away from God, and the awful torment they went through, and the bitterness that they felt during that time. And even though, it talks about them shrinking away from God because they know of their guilt, I even think of that as a gift. That if in that day you remember that that's the way you feel, that's the attitude you have, when you feel that bitterness, awaken. Realize that you've turned from God and turn again to him, to rely on him. So, take that as a late indicator that you're in deep trouble. Your attitude really counts. I think I'm ready to read 86. O all ye old men, and also ye young men, and ye little children, which can understand my words, for I have spoken plain unto you, that ye may understand. I pray that ye should awaken to a remembrance of the awful situation of those that have fallen into transgression. And moreover, I would desire that ye would consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. For behold, they are blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual. And if they hold out faithful to the end, they are received into heaven, that thereby they may dwell with God in the state of never-ending happiness. Oh, remember that these things are true, for the Lord God has spoken it. And if you think about some of the detail here about what that really means, when you hold out to the end, I would, even take King Benjamin as an example. The reason he's here, that he's called these people together, is, or one of the reasons, is that he's turning the rule of these people over to his son, Messiah. And he's doing it because he's old. He's suffering. He even says in here that as he stands and he delivers this message, that he trembles greatly because he's weak. And he's old. And we will suffer these things. And when it talks about us prospering, it doesn't mean we won't suffer. It doesn't mean we won't get old. It doesn't mean that we'll live forever. We will have an end. And it's right. But we have every reason to rejoice and to be happy if we're his. Remember that these things are true, for the Lord God hath spoken it. And again, my brethren, I would call your attention, for I have something more to speak unto you. For behold, I have things to tell you concerning that which is to come. And the things which I shall tell you are made known unto me by an angel from God. And he said unto me, Awake, and I awoke. And behold, he stood before me, and he said unto me, Awake, and hear the words which I shall tell you, which I shall tell thee. For behold, I am come to declare unto thee glad tidings of great joy. For the Lord hath heard thy prayers, and hath judged of thy righteousness, and hath sent me to declare unto thee that thou mayest rejoice, and that thou mayest declare unto thy people that they may also be filled with joy. For behold, the time cometh, and is not far distant, that with power the Lord omnipotent, who reigneth, which was and is from all eternity to all eternity, shall come down from heaven among the children of man, and shall dwell in a tabernacle of clay, and shall go forth among men, amongst men, working mighty miracles, such as healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the lame to walk, the blind to receive their sight, and the deaf to hear, and curing all manner of diseases. And he shall cast out devils, or the evil spirits which dwell in the hearts of the children of men. And lo, he shall suffer temptations and pain of body, hunger, thirst, and fatigue, even more than man can suffer, except it be unto death. For behold, blood cometh from every pore, so great shall be his anguish for the wickedness and the abominations of his people. And he shall be called Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Father of heaven and earth, the Creator of all things from the beginning. And his mother shall be called Mary. And lo, he cometh unto his own, that salvation might come unto the children of men, even through faith on his name. And even after all this, they shall consider him a man, and say that he hath a devil, and shall scourge him, and shall crucify him, and he shall rise the third day from the dead, and behold, he standeth to judge the world. And behold, all these things are done, that a righteous judgment might come upon the children of men. For behold, and also his blood atoneth for the sins of those who have fallen by the transgression of Adam, who have died not knowing the will of God concerning them, or who have ignorantly sinned. And you know, consider such a contradiction of sinners against our God, that Jesus Christ, here in the flesh, the Son of God, having no sin, who suffered more than any of us have, who suffered unto death of this temporal body, was rejected, was crucified, was scourged. This is our hero. This is our example. This is our Savior. And this is who we're to be like. It's hard to understand it. I don't think there's good mortal terms for God's grace. To understand that he did this, that we might be saved, that there might be an opportunity for us, unprofitable servants. And trying to obey that example and be like him, we think about forgiveness. Forgiveness is an act of grace. It isn't something deserved. It's something we give as Christ. We forgive people. It's grace. Even though we suffered because of their actions, we give it as he did. And to our great joy, he did give it. Let me go back to Psalm 100. You know, even preparing for this sermon, I realized that I'm nothing. I have stood up here behind this desk, and desks like this. I've sat in a bedroom up in my my wife's parents' house and preached. I've so many times that I've served, and I was nothing. I was nothing. He gave me the scriptures to speak to his people. He gave me the grace of the power of his Holy Spirit to guide me in my life. That there would seem to be good that comes from me. And it's because of him, because of his grace. Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing, knowing ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Thank you.